We're part of something so much bigger than ourselves. This is not just about Bishop Stortford. This is not just about us and the things that we're doing here. It's about we get to be part of something that touches nations around the earth. It wasn't intended that today would be a celebration of nations, but isn't it wonderful that we get to do that? It's just so beautiful. So beautiful. I love the fact that this Christmas we get to bless the work there with My Child Uganda. I love the fact that the Lord is touching nations through us. This week, Nicola and I had the opportunity also to sit with some people who've been part of us for a long time, and their passion is to find out how they can reach unreached people with the gospel. And I just love the fact that the Lord is breathing into this congregation a passion for the nations of the earth and to see people of every tribe and every tongue worshiping the Lamb, because that's what He's worthy of. That's what He's worthy of. Right, I've not got a lot of time, so I'm going to get going. I want us to pray this together. This a number of months ago, we started doing this when we did offerings, and it just catches hold of something that draws our hearts into the revelation that when we give our money, when we give to My Child Uganda, when you give your regular tithe, your offering here, if you're part of this church family, if you're not, please don't worry. Tithes and so on are for those who are part of this church family. But when we give, we get to give into something so much bigger than ourselves. The Lord is doing a mighty work all across the face of the earth, and we get to partner with it. Isn't it beautiful? Shall we just, let's just say these words and engage our spirits in the bigger things, the bigness of what our God is about. Let's go together. Lord, thank You that You are good and all that we need comes from Your generous heart. You are the source of every good thing which I enjoy. So I gladly invest my finances to extend Your kingdom here on earth. May we see the greater blessings of Your kingdom, the sick healed, the dead raised, the broken restored, demons cast out, established, and many, many saved and discipled, that Jesus Christ may be gloriously worshipped and receive the full reward for His suffering. Amen. Amen. That's what we live for. That's what we live for. It's what He paid for. It's so much bigger than our comfort. It's so much greater than our ease, although that comes as part of His presence. He is the God of all comfort. He is the one who wraps His arms around us, as that beautiful song came this morning from Sam. He loves to do all of that, but it's so much more. He's calling us into something much bigger. Over the last couple of Sundays, Al and I are seeking to help us as a whole body lay hold of the sense of commission that has come to us from Andy and Teresa Merrick's visit, which was a couple of Sundays ago. Maybe not all of you were here. Hopefully you've been able to catch up a little bit of that online. But they painted a picture of what it means to be part of a family that reaches beyond itself and impacts the world around us for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This kingdom legacy family that we get to be a part of is passionate for the advancement of the kingdom of God through the power of the Holy Spirit. And as Andy said from time to time through the weekend that he was here, he said, we will not change the subject. We will push and we will press forward to see Christ get everything that He suffered for. And that includes bodies healed. That includes the salvation of those who do not yet know Jesus. It includes people being set free from demonic oppression and from the lies and the torment of the evil one. This is what we live for, what we give ourselves to. Last week, Al helped us through the paradigm that we often get stuck in. We get stuck in our heads in Romans 7 and think, oh, it might happen for somebody else, but not me. And Al helped us to recognize that the book of Romans does not stop at Romans 7. It goes on into Romans 8, which is full of the confident, glorious hope for all of us who are filled with the power of God, that we don't get stuck in sin and torment and disbelief, but that we go gloriously into that place of knowing our union with Christ, knowing that He dwells within us, and therefore nothing is impossible, and that all the glories of heaven get to be transferred through us and into the world around us. That's what it's all about. We're in transition as a church, as a local church. We've, in 2024, we've moved from being part of the New Frontiers family of churches. We're now part of this network of churches called Kingdom Legacy, churches and ministries, I should say. And some things have shifted and changed. The reason for that is that we as elders, as leaders of the church here, over the last number of years, we've recognized that God has been speaking to us and he's been calling our attention through a variety of prophetic words that he has given us over those years. And he is calling us to obediently step out and to make some changes, even though those changes can be a little bit uncomfortable or even hard to get our heads around. And this week, I want to help us press in a little bit further into this question of what do we do in order to inherit what God has prepared? If your eyes can see that image in terms of what it actually portrays, there's the paw print of a lion. Now, I've never hunted lion. I never intend to hunt lion. I want to stay far, far away from such beasts at all costs. But when you are out walking in the bush and you see one of those on the path next to you, perhaps your heart would skip a beat and you'd think, oh my goodness, he's close. He's close. And my longing for us as we step into this next season of transition into the fullness of what God has prepared for us is that we will do so with that confidence that he is close. And anything could happen because of who he is, but that anything will always be good. Will always be good. We can be confident, but let's make sure that we're expectant. Let's make sure that we are front foot people, leaning forward, craning our necks, looking to see what is it, God, that you are going to do next? Where are you going to show us just how incredibly good and faithful you are? I want to lay hold of it. I want to be right there when it happens. I don't want to miss a thing. I don't want to miss a thing. The Lord has been speaking to us about this transition. In fact, Sue, I saw Sue. Sue's here. You didn't know you were going to get this today, but I was inspired by a prophetic word that you gave us back in 2018. And I felt like the Lord just drew this back to my attention today. In terms of the transition that he is making amongst us, and what I want to do is to share with you the prophetic word that Sue gave us back in 2018, which was early in the days when God was getting our attention about change. And I want to use this to help us then think, okay, how do we lean into the things that God has got for us? I'll be using a passage in the Old Testament to do that. Let me read to you this prophetic provocation that came to us, or part of it anyway, that came to us in 2018. The picture that I saw was of two houses. On the left was an old traditional house. It was beautiful in its way. It's well built. It's prosperous looking, and it's made of red brick. On the right, the second house was a total contrast to the first. A glass structure, transparent, the interior visible, innovative, cutting edge. Even the process of building is radically different, requiring a high degree of accuracy in construction. And this is what I feel like God is saying. I hear this for us all as a body, but hear this also in terms of what the Lord might be speaking to you personally, because the Lord is always doing a new thing, and he's always wanting to lead us further into a revelation of his goodness. I'm not rearranging the old house or updating an old structure. I'm building a brand spanking new house, and I will build it in a radical new way, and then I will move in. It requires a different approach and mindset to receive it, but be encouraged. I am working individually and corporately to produce my design. I am renewing minds to receive it. This is the new wineskin I will fill, and I will continue to fill as we journey together. And the Lord invites us, as we come to the end of a year which has been marked by transition, he invites us to embrace the new and to be prepared to release and let go of the old. Now, that's not to say the old was in any way poor or less than. Indeed, the prophetic word, the essence of the prophetic word says, this is something that we can honor. We wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the old building that is beautiful, that is well constructed, that speaks of prosperity, that speaks of beauty. And many of you in this room have journeyed with CCBS for the last 30-something years as the red brick structure has been built. And naturally speaking, we can find ourselves a little bit, oh, really? You want to move on to something new? You want to draw us into a new revelation? And we can feel a little bit uncomfortable. I just want to encourage you to take heart that this transition is happening because of the voice of the Lord. And when it's the voice of the Lord and his instruction, we can be absolutely confident that it's going to be good and that he's going to lead us into something that perhaps we haven't experienced before, but something that we can have confidence in because it is full of his presence. I want to explore some concepts, some ideas about how do we put our arms around the revelation that the Lord is bringing to us using this story of when Elijah prays for rain. This is in 1 Kings chapter 18. Let me read to you the verses very quickly just so you can get a sense of it. Elijah said to Ahab — Ahab was an evil king — he said to him, "Go and get something to eat and drink, for I hear a mighty rainstorm coming." So Ahab went to eat and drink, but Elijah climbed to the top of Mount Carmel and bowed down to the ground and prayed with his face between his knees. And then he said to his servants, "Go and look out towards the sea." The servant went and looked, and he returned to Elijah and said, "I don't see anything." And seven times Elijah told him to go and look. And finally, the seventh time, his servant told him, "I saw a little cloud about the size of a man's hand rising from the sea." And then Elijah shouted, "Hurry to Ahab and tell him, climb into your chariot and go back home. If you don't hurry, the rain will stop you." So that's the story of Elijah praying for rain. There had been 3 years of drought, 3 years of drought during the reign of one of the most evil kings on the planet. It was not a good season to be a man of God. Certainly not a good season to be the man of God who had prophesied that there would be a drought. And then Elijah appears on the scene, confronts and defeats the prophets of Baal, slaughters them, 450 of them. If any of you are prophets, please don't go out and slaughter people. That would not be a good idea. Slaughters the prophets of Baal. And then comes, and he's in this situation where he has prophesied that there is going to be rain, but very much unlike Bishop Stortford, there was not a cloud in the sky, blue sky as far as the eye could see. And I want to just draw a few little lessons for us out of these short few verses about how do we embrace the thing that God is saying to us, and how do you at any time embrace the thing, the call that God is putting on your life as you seek to live for his glory. First verse in this little passage: "Then Elijah said to Ahab, 'Go get something to eat and drink, for I hear a mighty rainstorm.'" In other words, he was saying to Ahab, get yourself ready for action because God is about to move. Now, Ahab did not believe in God, and Ahab had no real reason to believe that what Elijah was saying to him was actually going to happen. As I say, blue sky day, the tiniest sign of a cloud in the sky. And here's this guy, Elijah, standing before him and saying, "I can hear a mighty rainstorm is coming." It would have been perfectly natural for Ahab to say, "You're crazy. I can't hear anything. What you're saying makes no sense whatsoever." But Elijah knew the voice of his God. And he knew that when God speaks, or when God revealed something to him in his spirit — I think what was going on here was that in Elijah's spirit, he knew that God was on the move. He could hear the sound of the supernatural rain falling in his spirit. And he was so convinced by it, so sure of the nature of his God who would not let him down, that he was prepared to go right out on a limb and say, "You better act because God is moving." And this, I think, is the first thing for us as his people in this or any season, to be people who believe and act on what God reveals. When he says, "I am going to raise up a young army of teenagers and young adults," in Bishop Stortford — he gave this word 20-something years ago, and there weren't that many amongst us in those days. We had one church meeting, it was maybe about this size, probably had something in the region of 20 to 30 young people in our congregation. An army, a vast army, was the prophesied word. But there was something that landed in our spirits all those years ago that caused us to lean into that word and say, yes, Lord, if you say it, it will happen. We will believe. Tom told me this week that in our youth department, we now, for the first time, I believe, in the church's history, we've got over 100 young people in secondary school age, just secondary school age. And that doesn't even include all the ones that Susan has nurtured in Super Gang. Now, these guys have done an incredible job of leaning in and saying, yes, Lord, I'm going to believe, I'm going to do what I can. But ultimately, obviously, the Lord is the one who brings the growth to these things. Do we have that heart attitude that when the Lord speaks, even if it doesn't make sense, sometimes we think, well, prophetic words have to make sense. No. God speaks into a blue sky and says it's going to rain. God speaks into a broken marriage and says it is going to heal. God speaks into a diseased body and says it will be well. And we've seen evidence of some of that recently. When the Lord speaks, anything is possible. And we must be a people who live with that reality at the very forefront of our hearts. When he says it, no contest. He speaks, it will happen. I will lean into that. I will believe it. I will partner with heaven. Let's go on to the second point. So Ahab went out to eat and drink, but Elijah climbed to the top of Mount Carmel and he bowed low to the ground and prayed with his face between his knees. Elijah did not rest on the fact that he had just seen fire fall from heaven, consuming an offering, and the defeat of all of these prophets of Baal. He did not rely on a successful past. In the moment where he prophesied rain, he also said, I will carry my responsibility. I am going to pray. I am going to leave with God what God can do. I am going to do what I can do. I'm going to lock myself down. I'm going to get myself away from distraction, go to the top of Mount Carmel. I'm going to put my head between my knees so I can't see the fact that the sky is blue. And I'm going to pray, Lord, Fulfill your word. Bring your glory. Lift up your name. Let people see that you are the king. Let people know that you are Jehovah. And he prayed and he prayed and he prayed with his head between his knees, wanting to see the breakthrough that was in his heart and that God had revealed to him. We must become increasingly a people who engage in wholehearted prayer. We see it, I know, amongst this community in many different ways. We've been so blessed in recent weeks on Tuesday evenings in our encounter prayer time here as we worship him. The sense of his presence comes close and we know that the Lord is hearing our prayer and we see evidence of him answering those prayers and breaking through. We're going to, in the early part of the new year, I think from the 5th to the 26th of January, invite you all to join us for 21 days of prayer and fasting. Now, don't be too scared by that, okay? Doesn't mean you can't eat for 21 days. It just means that in some way, you're going to set yourself apart and say, Lord God, do what only you can do. Our young people will not hear the gospel without you. This town will not turn from darkness to light without a light that shines so brightly. We need you. And so the Lord calls us to partner with him and not presume that just because we've received a prophetic sense that he's going to do something that, well, that'll all be all right then. He wants us to be a people who go to prayer and who go there regularly and who lock ourselves in and call on him. The third thing from verse 43a, he says to his servant, go and look out towards the sea. The servant went and looked and returned to Elijah and said, I don't see anything. Elijah was expectant for signs. And in the midst of the season where there were no signs, He remained faithful in prayer. He remained locked in with his head between his knees, saying, Lord God, you don't change. Lord God, when you speak, it comes to pass. You are not a man that you should lie. This is Numbers 23. You are not a man that you should lie. You are not the son of man that you would change your mind. When you speak, Lord God, I know you will act. I will send somebody else to look for the evidence, but I am going to be locked in until there is report of what you have done. The Lord wants every one of us to be expectant that he will come, that he will vindicate his name, that he will answer our prayers, that he will bring salvation to those who all the way through their lives, all the way through the time that we have known them, have shown no interest in the gospel or that resistance to receiving any encouragement about the person of Jesus Christ. Elijah was expectant for signs of breakthrough, and he enlisted others in the process. I think there is something there for us. This is not meant to be a one-person journey. It's not meant to be just you and the Lord. It's meant to be a community of people together who lift up one another's arms, who shoulder one another's burdens, who get along alongside one another and pray and bring the testimony when it comes so that we are inspired and fired to keep going after the Lord. Second part of verse 43 says this: seven times Elijah told him, go and look. Seven times. Can you imagine being that person? You want me to go? Okay, I'll go. Nothing there. You want me to go again? Now, I imagine it didn't happen just like that. There's probably a period of time, and he was asked the second time, he went, nothing. He was asked the third time, really? Yeah, okay, I'll go. Nothing. If he's anything like me, by the time it's the sixth time, he's beginning to feel a little bit frustrated. And you may well find yourself in those circumstances thinking, come on, let's just acknowledge that it is what it is, that what you're praying for isn't going to happen. Why don't you just lower your vision a little bit? Why don't you just adjust the things that you're going after in prayer so that they're a little bit more reasonable? No. Elijah tucks his head between his knees and says, Lord God, send the rain. And we need to be a persistent people. We need to be a people who refuse to change the subject. That's one of the things that I loved about Andy and Teresa's message. This whole thing of we refuse to change the subject because we serve a king who will forever be on the throne. He is not a president who will be elected and then lose his office in 4 years' time or whatever it might be. He is the king, and he will never be defeated, and his kingdom is everlasting. The things that he has declared will come to pass, and therefore we will stay engaged, we will stay persistent, and we will keep praying, and we will keep believing until we see the breakthrough. Let's be a people who persist, who go after God with that absolute raw confidence. Lord, you will break through. Lord, you will break through. It may take us to the very point where we just can hardly bear to keep going, but the Lord will prove himself faithful and he will do it. He will break through for you. Despite the blue sky, the no clouds, there will be rain. Despite the zero bank balance and no job, he will break through. Despite the complete lack of love in that relationship, the Lord will, he is the God who speaks and creates out of nothing. Despite the prognosis, despite the diagnosis, the Lord is the one who speaks the better word. He is the one who declares the end from the beginning. He is the one who gives life. He is the one who takes dry dirt, breathes into it, and creates life. So we persist because we can trust him. We can trust him. I've really got to finish off this last point before we get to the end. Finally, the seventh time, his servant told him, I saw a little cloud. You can almost hear the servant's voice. It's almost an embarrassed tone. He comes back, having been off to the cliff edge for the seventh time, comes up to Elijah and goes, well, look, there's like a little tiny thing. It's like a little tiny wisp of cloud. It's coming up from the sea. How does Elijah respond? He doesn't go, maybe there's not going to be much. In that moment, he goes, yes! It says Elijah shouted, go and tell Ahab. Tell him, get moving, otherwise the rain is going to overtake you. He knew in his spirit, this is the thing I have been contending for. And Lord God, you are breaking through. I see the first bricks fall in the wall. I'm seeing you're coming over the horizon. You are here. It's like George Mueller when he was in Bristol and he was building his orphanages, had no money, and he'd made a decision, I will not ask for finance. And he needed thousands of pounds, which way back in those days was like millions of pounds today. And the story goes that a little child walked up to him in the middle of the street, reached into his or her pocket, and handed him a penny. And George Mueller did not say, oh, that's pathetic, I need thousands of pounds. In that moment, he said, yes, God, it's come. You're doing it. It may be an acorn, but there is an oak tree in the acorn. You are the God who is breaking through. You're doing it in the small ways, but you are here. It's like suddenly you discovered the lion's footprint. Oh, he's here. He's here. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is victory, freedom, breakthrough. He can do all things. Nothing stops him. Nothing stops him. And so we are to be a people who seize upon and celebrate everything he does. Focus on what he is doing. Let's not allow our hearts to get caught up with all the stuff that he hasn't yet done. Focus on what he has done. I went home a very happy man last Sunday because in the space of an hour and a half here, we saw salvation, we saw healing, and we saw deliverance. God was here. He's here again today. He's the same God. On our Tuesday evenings, we've had the privilege of getting to know a lady, and I'm looking for an opportunity for her, to get her to come and share with you. But if I give you the real potted history here, listen. She had a totally dysfunctional heart. She also had stage 4 cancer that had returned aggressively into her body. The doctor said, we cannot do chemotherapy because your heart is in such a bad state, there is no way that you will survive that. So we need your heart to be right before we can do anything else. As I say, long story short, she didn't even receive a lot of prayer. It's just in the presence of the Lord. And she went for a scan. And while she was being scanned, the doctor was looking at the scan results from 6 months ago, which showed this dysfunctional heart, chambers all mixing blood together. And then he was looking at what he was looking at live as he went in with his camera. And he was kind of like, and he looked at her. She was awake. I don't know how this works. But anyway, he looked at her and he said to her, if I hadn't been the one that did this to you 6 months ago, I'd think I'm looking at a totally different heart. There's nothing wrong with it. Yeah. And then she goes for a scan to see how things are going with her cancer, and it's in total remission. But this is our God. That's one of those massive stories that you kind of think, wow. But people were healed 2 weeks ago of a whole variety of things. Like back pain and movement issues and elbow ache and all sorts of things. Someone was healed last week. God's present amongst his people to heal, to save, to deliver, to set free, to transform. He is on the move. The lion is amongst his people. And he wants us to be people who believe and act on what he reveals. And don't get discouraged when the circumstances look different. He wants us to be people who engage wholeheartedly and pray, believing that the Lord answers prayer, expectant for breakthrough, persistent and refusing to change the subject because he never changes the subject. And let's be a people who expect him to do those miraculous things week in, week out, next weekend. Let's pray this week that his spirit is so full in this room that when all those mums and dads and grannies and grandpas come in here for crafty Christmas, that they feel something that words cannot express. Let's pray that people on the street get encountered with the love of God and say, what is this and how do I get it? This is our God. Very quickly, because we do need to close. If you need healing in your body this morning, just stand where you are. Because the Lord wants to heal you. It can be anything. This is not going to be a long thing at all, but simply just be aware of what it is that you are asking for. As it were, see the cloud on the horizon. See the little cloud. See the evidence of the little tiny first inklings of it. And right now, Holy Spirit, by your mighty power, because of the broken body and shed blood of Jesus, I declare healing in this room over every body, over every broken thing, over every point of need. Almighty God, that you will do it because you are able to do all things well. Come, King of glory. King of glory, we hear the sound of rain in the heavens. We hear the sound of your presence. And we say, Lord God Almighty, do it again. Do it again in this room. Do it again for us, that we may carry the testimony of your brilliance, of your beauty, of your majesty into our homes and our workplaces for your glory, Jesus. For your glory, Jesus. Folks, do be testing yourselves out over the coming hours, minutes, weeks, days, and please tell us what the Lord is doing amongst us, because he's here. And he cannot be here and not do stuff, because that's what he's like. I'm going to pass back to these guys because I have overrun. Thank you for listening so much.